Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're on the book of Amos now. This is chapter 8. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, your word. The Holy Spirit is incorporated in it, and we live by your word. If we're not living according to your word, then we know we're dead. We're dead to your word. The word doesn't mean anything to us if we don't do what you say. And therefore, we're dead. We're plucked up by the roots. And Lord, we pray that you'll indent this, that you'll fuse it into people's spirits, because I know you don't want anybody to go to hell, and I don't either. But Lord, we do have to teach. I know you punish people here on this earth, and you expect your pastors to punish people, to put them out of the church if they're not going to do what you say. And for sure, not to be in the house or anywhere near the house if they will not do and absolutely refuse repeatedly to obey what your orders are. Let the words of this chapter, this tape, sink into the hearers, the ears of the hearers, and into their spirits, their spiritual minds, so that they, and let the Lord give them the strength to discipline themselves, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. We all have to discipline ourselves. We have to make ourselves do things that we know are right. We are not allowed, according to your word, to just go according to what our flesh wants to do. We have to discipline our minds to think the things you want us to think. We have to discipline our spirits to do the things that you want them to do, and our spirits to make our bodies do what you command for us to do. Lord, we ask that this is imprinted into everyone's spiritual mind, into their spirits, and into their even their carnal minds, that they are compelled to make them do the things that the Holy Spirit commands them to do. God, you, Father God, you are Spirit. You are the Holy Spirit, and you are life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are one. Lord, we ask that you do all these things, and that everyone will obey these things. In the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, chapter 8, verse 1, we start out with the King James Version and then into the commentary.
Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. Commentary, heading, A Vision of Ripe Fruit, verse 1. Then the Sovereign Lord showed me another vision. In it I saw a basket filled with ripe fruit. King James Version, verse 2. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, The end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more.
Passing over them means I'll not pass over them. I'm going to punish them. I'm not going to let them get by with sin any longer. But I'm not going to pass. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But if I see sin, he says, I'm not going to pass over you any longer. I'm going to come down and punish you, is what that means. In case you don't understand the Bible talk. Okay, then go ahead.
Commentary, verse 2. Quote, What do you see, Amos? He asked. I replied, A basket full of ripe fruit. Then the Lord said, This fruit represents my people of Israel, ripe for punishment! Exclamation mark.
They're just ripe for punishment, ready to eat up, to consume, to destroy. They're ripe for it right now. It's time for the picking. Then what?
I will not delay their punishment again.
In other words, I will not pass over them. I will not delay their punishment any longer. Not one more time. And what?
King James Version, verse 3. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence.
dead bodies? What does this mean? That God's going to kill him? Yes, that means God's going to kill him. God, not the devil. Go ahead. Commentary.
Commentary, verse 3. In that day, the riotous sounds of singing in the temple will turn to wailing.
Oh, yeah, people love to just sing, you know, and a lot of times they just get so emotional, they start singing real riotously. Oh, you know, all these different songs. His truth is marching on, and they are glory, glory, hallelujah, and they just go out of their minds. So they think that makes them more holy. Then what?
Dead bodies will be scattered everywhere.
The bodies of these people that are singing like that. Then what?
They will be carried out of the city in silence. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark.
And when he says something, that's it. What else?
King James Version, verse 4. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great?
Now, do you understand what that means without me telling you?
No.
Well, when will this service be over so I can get out and cheat the people some more? When will this festival be over? So I can get out and do the evil things by cheating the people that I do. Read it again. Well, go ahead and read down my...
Okay, there's a little bit more here.
Okay.
When will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit?
Making things small that are really large and the things that are large really small, like lying to people, cheating them. Go ahead, read it.
Commentary, verse 4 and 5. Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample the needy. You can't wait for Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end so you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out your gain in false measures and weigh it out on dishonest scales. And you mix the wheat you sell with chaff swept from the floor.
Yeah, it's saying that it's all wheat when it's just mixed up with chaff and wheat. Okay, then what? Yeah, that's pretty rotten, isn't it, to sell people chaff mixed up with wheat, saying that it's all wheat. Then what? Can't wait to get out of the services to bilk people, right?
Yes.
To get the Sabbath over with. Man, it's Saturday or Sunday, whichever most people... say that it's the Sabbath day. They can't wait till it gets over for Monday. In Israel, it's Sunday is their Monday, because Friday and Saturday is their Sabbath. Friday when the sun goes down, and Saturday it's over with when the sun goes down. They can't wait until Sunday so they can start weaseling the people some more. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 6. That we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Commentary, verse 6. And you mix the wheat you sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave poor people for a debt of one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. King James Version, verse 7. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works.
The Lord says, I'll never forget. He's saying, my mind is like a steel trap. I don't forget. That's the way I am too. I know when people are trying to destroy souls in the church. And not only trying, but are destroying them. And I know when you're satanic. Because I know the word of the Lord, and I know that which is the opposite of the Lord. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 7. Now the Lord has sworn this oath by his own name. the pride of Israel, the pride of Jacob.
The pride of Israel means, in the original text it says, the pride of Jacob. But Jacob is Israel, so I put Israel in there so that people would know that it's Israel and that Jacob is Israel also. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that you know. So that you can't say you didn't know. If your mind is a steel trap like God's and like mine, because I don't forget. And God says here, I don't forget. Okay, then what else?
Commentary verse 7. Now the Lord has sworn this oath by his own name, the pride of Israel, the pride of Jacob, quote, I will never forget the wicked things you have done, exclamation mark.
Right. You never will. Because you never have totally repented. And you're not doing the things that the Lord says. If you're not doing the things the Lord says, then all the good that you may have done, if you ever had done any good, is taken away. It's erased. And all them come back. And it's seven times worse on you than it was before. Because then seven devils worse than the one that was originally cast out of you enters into you, and you can't recover. Then what? And God knows it, and he doesn't forget it. So why do you think he sends strong delusions to people? Because they're so rotten is why. They're so sinful is why. Because they never change. Then what?
King James Version, verse 8. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt.
Right. Well, the land will rise up like a flood. And then it'll settle down after it buries them. Okay, go ahead.
Commentary verse 8. The earth will tremble for your deeds, and everyone will mourn. The land will rise up like the Nile River at flood time, toss about and sink again. King James Version, verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. Commentary, verse 9. At that time, says the Sovereign Lord, quote, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth while it is still day. King James Version, verse 10. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins.
Okay, now that means that I'm going to make you wear funeral clothing. Right?
Yes.
Lamentations and mourning happens at a funeral. So he's going to make them wear funeral clothing. Okay? Because he's going to cause many to be destroyed, and there's going to be lots of funerals. Okay, go ahead, read it.
And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head.
Yeah, because they'll shave their heads. They shave their heads when they're in lamentation and sackcloth. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's not going to make them lose their hair. They're going to shave it.
And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Commentary, verse 10. I will turn your celebrations into times of mourning, and your songs of joy will be turned to weeping. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your heads as signs of sorrow, as if your only son had died. How very bitter that day will be! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Commentary, verse 11.
What does that mean, there'd be a famine? How could there be a famine for the word of the Lord? How would it be that you couldn't find the word of the Lord? You could be reading it, but you don't even know what you're reading, is what he's saying. And because the Lord doesn't speak to those people that are sinners, that don't confess their sins. They hide sins. They say, we never did this before, or we never did that before, and they're lying through their teeth. And they never confess them or humble themselves before the Lord, and so the Lord cuts them off from hearing his voice. So few people hear the voice of the Lord, and they don't realize it, that they don't ever confess their sins. They don't admit what they've done. And therefore, they've never humbled themselves before God. And they still think that God's going to talk to them. What fools these mortals be. Then, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 11. Quote, the time is surely coming, says the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
Oh, you can't hear the words of the Lord. Some people say, I remember a long time ago, you know, 25 years, 30, 40 years ago, that the Lord said something to me. Well, man, that scared the tar out of me, because, I mean, I hear from the Lord every day. How can people go for 20, 10, 20, 30 years, or 5 years, or 5 days without hearing the voice of the Lord? There's something radically wrong with you if you're not hearing the word of the Lord. Well, we read it, yeah, but the Lord promises to guide his people. He'll teach you all things when the Holy Spirit is in you and when you're keeping the Lord's commandments. He doesn't give the Holy Spirit to those that don't keep his commandments. He gives it to those that do keep the commandments of the Lord, and he talks to you. That's really scary to be around a bunch of people. It would be if the Lord wasn't talking to them. Because there ain't no telling what they do. They might throw things at your doors, or they might do other kind of destructive things. They might talk about you when your back is turned. That's scary to be around a bunch of ghouls like that. Don't you think it would be?
Yes.
I wouldn't want to be around a bunch of devils that can't hear from the Lord. Then what?
King James Version, verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Commentary, verse 12.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many services you go to. If you're cut off from the Lord, I don't care you go north, east, west, south. You're not going to hear from him no matter where you go. Because the same evil spirit that's in you where you're at right now is going to be going wherever you go also. The same demons that are in you now are going to go to you, with you, if you go to Alaska, China, or whatever. They travel right with you. And if the Lord is in you, he travels with you also. So your demons are not going to leave you because you change the geography where you're at, the place where you're at. The demons travel with you. Your companions will be with you. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 12. People will stagger everywhere from sea to sea, searching for the word of the Lord, running here and going there, but they will not find it.
That's good. Then what?
King James Version, verse 13. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst.
Fair virgins means beautiful girls that are have never aligned with a man. Beautiful girls and fine young men. Okay, read it back.
In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst.
Okay, go ahead and then read the commentary.
Commentary, verse 13. Beautiful girls and fine young men will grow faint and weary, thirsting for the Lord's word. King James Version, verse 14. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they...
The tribe of God said Dan worships, the tribe of Dan worships, and the people of Beersheba worship. That's what it means. Read it again.
Thy God, O Dan, liveth.
O Dan, tribe of Dan, liveth. No. because the gods they were worshipping were not gods. Then what?
And the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again.
Okay, read the commentary.
Commentary, verse 14. And those who worship and swear by the idols of Samaria, Dan and Beersheba, will fall down, never to rise again.
That means never to rise again. When God says that you're never going to rise again, you're never going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's it. It's final. You're locked in here on this side of eternity. When God told me that Birgitta will never change, I knew that she's going to be in hell. Now, that wouldn't affect most people that way, because they'd say, oh, he said that, you know, like it was no big deal. But to me, it struck me, and tears started running down my face. But I'm not a weeper. I'm not a crier. I don't think hardly anybody's ever seen me weep. But there was something about it. She was so pathetic, so pitiful, so utterly ignorant, so utterly stupid. And she just, there's no way you could talk, I could talk any sense into her head, because even God couldn't tell her anything. She's just brighter than God, she felt, and brighter than myself. And I know she's going to be in hell, because she's never going to change. That was the end of chapter 8. Now, there's a commentary here.
Referring to 8 verses...
Referring to chapter 8, verses...
11 through 14.
Through 11 through 14. All right, then what?
Why would people not be able to find the Word of God? It is because they look for revelation out of themselves.
In other words, they use their own stupid mind. When they hear something from the Lord, they try to rationalize it in their head, their own stupid head. God is not a rational God. He's very irrational. You don't know what he can do. He can change the entire earth and the heavens in one flash of a second. And then won't you be surprised? Then how would you rationalize that in your head, your stupid mind? How would you rationalize that the Lord says to stand over here by a river or a lake or an ocean and tell you stand here and just put your the stick, this rod of yours, into the water, and I'm going to open it up and you people will be able to walk right through the sea? There's no rationalizing that, because it's totally irrational to the carnal mind. The carnal mind cannot rationalize with God any more than Pharaoh could. He said that the water's going to turn to blood, that there's going to be frogs, that there's going to be lice, that the firstborn is going to die in every family. That's irrational. He can't, in his carnal mind, equate. There's no equation there. And so therefore, he just laughs at it, just like a lot of people in churches all over. It just doesn't compute. But you're dealing with a God here that doesn't think the way your stupid, ugly-looking head figures. You know, it's just you can't. Anything that disbelieves God is ugly to God. They're chaff. And he tells you to do something, they say, well, I really don't think that'll work, because it just isn't done in this world. But the Lord wants to do something in this world that nobody has ever done before. He said that when he came into this world that he was doing things that nobody else has ever done or no one else has ever said before. Amen?
Amen.
And so how could anybody rationalize that with your dingy brain? Your brain cannot rationalize that way. And I think you've been so cunning, because some of you are just teenagers or just above teenagers, and you deceived your teachers that were in school. And so you think that you're real smart because you deceived an adult by lying and doing things behind people's backs. And so you figure everybody's stupid and therefore God is too. But you're sick in your head, because your teachers were stupid and they were easily deceived by you. And if they could be deceived by a child and you could pull wool over their eyes, you cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. He sees everything you're doing, and it's best that you receive that now, dingy, because if you don't, you're going to be very sorry when everything is over with, because you're going to realize then, and only then, how stupid you are. Just because you deceived Mary Morgan Flash and some other people in the church, you really think you are sharp. Ding-a-lings, really, is what you are. Don't try to rationalize what God is going to do. He tells you what he's going to do, and don't think that he's lying just because you're a liar. It's a proven thing. Every liar thinks everybody's a liar. Every adulteress thinks everybody has adultery on their mind. Every fornicator thinks that everybody's got fornication on their mind. Every liar thinks it's just easy for everybody to lie, so everybody does. No, you're wrong. Not everybody doesn't do that. There are people that serve the Lord. Not you, but there are people that do. Try to remember that. Dingy. Okay, then what?
Why would people not be able to find the Word of God? It is because they look for revelation out of themselves, their pitiful own minds, or the minds of someone else.
That they respect. You see little girls following other little girls in that are wicked in the church, and little boys following other little wicked boys in the church, and they stumble and fall. They cause them to fall because their brains are so inferior that they don't listen to God, just to other little girls and other little sick boys. That's why they'll never hear from God. They have too much respect for their own dingy brain to ever be able to hear from God. And God knows that's the way you are. You're followers of evil people. And little people that have never, that don't know the ropes yet. They're not even dry behind the ears yet. Okay, then what?
God's people cannot hear God speak to them until they admit their sins and helplessness.
Yeah, and until they cotton to him, until they humble themselves before him and do what he says daily. Okay, then what?
They need to seek God alone and nothing else.
And God alone and no one else, like their little friends. Their little ignorant, stupid, sinful friends who have their opinions about everything and everybody, including God. God tells them to not be busybodies, and God tells them not to try to get people out of the church, but you're supposed to encourage them to stay into the church, not encourage them to go down the road. But that is the most evil person. That is a true devil. One that will definitely try to talk people into leaving the church. And so convincing they are that they actually have caused them to go down the hill or to walk out of the church. That is the exact traits of Satan. He, while everybody was praising and thanking the Lord in heaven and were happy, they were full of ecstasy. He was around with his bitter, evil, unhappy self because people wouldn't worship him. And you got girls in churches and boys, wicked little girls and wicked little boys, that want people to follow them rather than the pastor, rather than the Lord, because they know they're inferior and they know that they feel inferior, and so it makes them feel proud when they've convinced ignorant, stupid little girls and little boys into falling away. Well, Satan does the same thing. He did it in heaven, and they do it here on earth. Satan does it through them here on earth. They are the body of Satan. They are a member of the body of Antichrist. Anyone that would, when God's trying to pull people into the church, that they would do everything in their power to cause them to want to leave and want them to despise God and the people of God. They would say, "You don't know God like I do," the devil would say, Lucifer would say in heaven. I mean, he's in there, you know, I'm in on some of their council meetings in there, and he's in there mocking you people. He's laughing at you, and he thinks that it's really funny that you bow down before him and say, "Praise you, God, Holy God," and all that. And God never said any of those things at all. But the stupid carnal mind, they don't read the Word of God to know that God is a good God, but He's a vengeful God too. That if you are that type that tries to portray God as being something that He isn't, well, then He's going to literally destroy you. I've seen many people that were in the church that are dead now, young people, for doing such things as that. And you just don't, you think you're so wise, and you don't know, you didn't know any of the things I'm telling you now, before, unless I've said it to you before, these things. Because your brain doesn't operate that. You don't meditate on the word of the Lord enough, and you don't know that He's going to scatter dead bodies all over the place. He's going to send plagues in. He's the one that's going to move the earth off the axis. You're not. And your master, the devil, is not going to do it. God brags that He's going to do it. Mother Nature isn't going to do it because there's no such creature. You have a mother, but God has no mother. He has no beginning, no ending, no mother, no father. He was there from the beginning. And so, it behooves you to just believe the Lord and seek Him, because you're not hearing His voice. That means there's something wrong. There's trouble in paradise. And you don't really even take it to heart. It doesn't mean anything to you, the guiding and the leading of the Lord, because your carnal brain can't believe such a thing as that. The things of the Lord are foolishness unto you, because you're carnal. And the things that He said He's going to do is foolishness unto you, because you're carnal. You can't perceive or understand them, because you're not equipped for it. Because you don't have faith. You don't have anything. You're no asset to your husbands. And people, the men that are that way, are no asset to their wives. You're just carnal people, just like the unsaved. Only worse, because you know to do good, but you don't do it. And the people out in the world don't know all these things. You're just a cheap, not even a two-bit bum. You're worthless, like chaff. That's why the Lord calls you chaff. So don't try to think of what the Scripture... Receive what the Lord says. You're not supposed to mull it over in your mind. You're supposed to receive it and meditate on it and think about it. You're supposed to think about that it is true. It is true. Not, this couldn't be. It has another meaning. This is a parable. No, it's not. When the Lord says He's going to kill somebody and send him to hell in the lake of fire, there's no parable with that. That's exactly what He's going to do. And you can see all the different signs that are happening today on earth. The pestilence, the earthquakes, the wars, the rumors of wars, and all the different things that He stated would happen. That the devil's Antichrist regime would be saying their God, and that they would tear down and blaspheme anything that had to do with God. They'd take the Bible out of schools. They'd take it out of the courtrooms. They would homosexuality would abound, and the law would be, the true law would be done away with and be called evil, and that which is evil would be called good. That means Satanism is reigning, they think. But God says that it's going to be smashed by the Word of God. Those that carry the Word of God will smash it. But then it's so quick, it is so easy for you to forget that. Tomorrow you don't remember that you're supposed to be preaching the Word of God with zeal. With enough zeal that you can convince people that it's true. You forget that. Because many of you are the same that you've been years ago. You haven't changed. You're still the same sicko that you were then, and some of you have gotten worse because of your total rejection of His Word. You don't just stand still, backslidden. You keep going deeper and deeper into the pit. The more you reject the things of the Lord, the more you are rejected. Okay, let's continue on with the commentary.
You must stop trusting the, quote, idols, end quote, you count on to get through the day.
Yeah, your idols are your own brain or some little trollop that you think that is smarter than you or anything in this world that gives you more comfort than God. Oh, it's so comfortable to talk and chat with my chums. You better start talking to the Lord if you want to make it into heaven. Chat with Him, you little ignoramus. I'm telling you this for your own spiritual good, because God talks to people this way. The real God does. You don't hear any affected voices over here. Oh, dearly beloved, God just loves you, and you just send me in $1,000, and God is going to just give you bushel baskets full of money, you hear? Oh, praise you, Jesus, oh, praise you, Jesus. That's what you hear on the TV all the time, isn't it?
Yes.
And in churches, and it's just as phony at a $37.12 bill, okay, piece of currency. Just that, phonier, I would say phonier. Okay, then what?
You must stop trusting the idols you count on to get through the day in order to hear the truth of God's word. Only the hope...
I mean, if you want to hear the truth of God's word, you've got to forget your little chum that keeps trying to throw your soul. Like Angel and Amy and other little... people like that around who have actually caused people to leave the church and caused many people to sin in the church. Okay, and the Lord says to let these people that do these things be known before the whole church so they don't fall into their wickedness too. Okay, then what?
Only the hope God's word supplies can give true everlasting life.
Right. There isn't any idol or person is going to give you light. I notice that when some of these people talk to people, they fall away. So that doesn't mean that's for sure not of them. Amen?
Yeah.
God is, they're not of God. Because they cause people to go away. A true witness causes people to come in. There's a young man that has his own tractor and trailer. He said he's Romanian. He's going to be moving in. He wants to move in, and he will do loads for the church. And he's got 10 children. He wants to bring them in with his wife. He just got that from one piece of literature that I wrote. Now, see, that brings in his wife, the 10 kids, himself, 12 people. And he wants to bring in many others. He said he's never heard the truth like this. And he said he's been saved for 20 years, and he's just never heard it like this before. He knows it's the real truth. And then you got people in here that are so demonic that Satan has them in here to try to destroy the souls that are in here. They're little chums. They're little playmates. Okay, then what else? Well, I want to expose them. And I'm going to keep exposing them because I don't want to be in trouble with the Lord. And the Lord tells me to do it. It's written in His Word. Amen?
Amen.
If they don't receive from me, He says, then take them before the church. And I'm sure there's many people in the church that can testify against these people. Okay, then what else? Such as Jennifer against Angel and many others. Okay, then what?
Amos chapter 8, verse 4 through 6. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail.
That's what they do. They cause the poor of the land to fall. They never win a soul. They don't have the Spirit of the Lord in them to do that. Then what?
Saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great.
Yeah, when will the Sabbath be over with? So we get out, and the festival, holy festivals be over, so we go out and continue cheating people. We hate the Sabbath. We want it to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, with the Jews, it's Friday, Saturday. But we want it to be Sunday. We can't wait till these stinking holidays are over with. Of course, we don't observe those holidays today anymore because that was part of the law that got done away with. That was done away with because when Christ came, he is all those festivals. We rejoice in him. And we feast in him. Okay, then what else? But this is the way they were then, and that's the way they are today, because these kind of people never feast in the Lord. They're just always around. You can see their shifty eyes scanning everything and gluing their ears to doors and sneaking around, seeing if anyone's talking about them, because they know that there's plenty to talk about them about. Then what?
When will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Commentary, verse 4. Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample the needy. You can't wait for Sabbath day to be over, and the religious festivals to end, so you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out your gain in false measures and weigh it out on dishonest scales. And you mix the wheat you sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave poor people for a debt of one piece of silver or a pair of sandals.
Okay, now go into the commentary. What does this mean now?
The Israelites serve the world, materialism, wealth, instead of God. They robbed the poor and were dishonest with the people. They sat through worship services but couldn't wait to cheat their helpless customers. The Israelites demonstrated the negative consequences of their addiction to material goods, dishonesty, morbid dependence on others, irresponsibility, and spiritual deadness. Serving wealth is common in our society. It is a way of life to many. But if we are devoted to money, we cannot be serving God. Matthew 6:24.
Okay, read it.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Back to the commentary. We must decide and choose who our master will be. God, who offers eternal life and peace, or money, which can never satisfy us.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was the 8th chapter of the book of Amos, and we'll do the final chapter, Lord willing, tomorrow, chapter 9. Till then, God bless you. Praise the Lord.